7:30 p.m. at Baker's Tap Room in Barryville, New York. Please send news of your arts and cultural events to calendar at wjffradio.org. Thanks for listening. Please stay tuned. Kathy Geary, welcome to Now and Then here on WJFF. On today's program, we're going to be taking an unusual subject matter. We're going to be exploring the work and the mystery of the American record producer, Tom Wilson. I have been broadcasting Now and Then for a couple of years here on WJFF, and I always really enjoy the part of the research that I have to do into the various singer-songwriters that I've been fascinated by all my life. And something kept coming up about a producer who I became very curious about. The man's name is Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson. You maybe never heard of Tom Wilson. He's best known. We're going to have a fabulous roller coaster ride of music today because Tom Wilson was instrumental in the careers and the music of Bob Dylan, Simon and Garfunkel, Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, and the Velvet Underground. We'll be hearing music from all of those artists on today's program. So Tom Wilson, he was born in 1931, and he was born in Waco, Texas. He goes to high school there, and he's a member of the Baptist Church. He was attending Fisk University, and he was invited to Harvard University, where he became involved with the Harvard New Jazz Society and a radio station there at Harvard called WHRB. And he always points back to his time at that radio station as being really critical. He graduates from Harvard in 1954, and he founds his own jazz label called Transition. And he begins producing jazz radio programs in 1958. He releases albums on his own label, including Sun Ra. Jazz by Sun Ra, which was Sun Ra's first LP. He also did another jazz album by Cecil Taylor. So because of the work he's doing on his own label, he gets a job with United Artists in 1957. And then he also goes on to work as the producer for a few other jazz labels in the late 50s, Savoy Records. And then he becomes hired as a staff producer for Columbia Records in 1963. Now, it's interesting, a little bit about Columbia Records. It took them a while to get into the rock and roll market, and they had no really rock and roll music all the way into the early 60s, but they ended up signing three of the largest folk rock acts through the 60s. That's Bob Dylan, The Byrds, and Simon and Garfunkel. And so Tom Wilson was hired at Columbia Records as a staff producer. Now, Bob Dylan's first album was mainly original folk songs that he recorded, a self-titled album, and it really didn't go anywhere. He goes to England, and he comes back getting ready to record the free-willing Bob Dylan. And it's interesting because at the time, Albert Grossman was Bob Dylan's manager. And he really did not like the person that was producing Bob Dylan's music. So he really pushed the label to bring in Tom Wilson to produce Bob Dylan's Free Willing album. And even though there's no credits on the album, Tom Wilson produces four of the songs on that album. Girl from the North Country, The Masters of War, Talkin' World War III Blues, and Bob Dylan's Dream, all from the Free Willing Bob Dylan. It's really interesting because, you know, we talked a lot about how Wilson had been producing jazz. And he has a quote from 1963. You know, he didn't even, quote, "I didn't even particularly like folk music. I'd been recording Sun Ra and Coltrane. I thought folk music was for dumb guys. Dylan played like the dumb guys. But then those words came out. I was flabbergasted." So at a recording session on April the 24th, 1963, Dylan records five tracks with Tom Wilson producing. Let's listen to The Masters of War from Bob Dylan, 1963, Free Willing.
If you're traveling in the North Country fire, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. If you go when the snowflakes storm, when the rivers freeze and summer ends, please see she has a coat so warm to keep her from the howling wind. Please see if her hair hangs long, if it rolls and flows all down her breast. Please see for me if her hair's hanging long, for that's the way I remember her best. I'm wondering if she remembers me at all. Many times I've often prayed in the darkness of my night, in the brightness of my day.
Bob Dylan. That was the Girl from the North Country Fair from his Free Willing Bob Dylan. That song was produced by Tom Wilson, and it's mysterious, the role of a producer. You know, you hear that song and you hear Bob Dylan singing and you hear his acoustic guitar, and you have a sense that he's just alone there in the studio, but he's not. He has a producer with him. And it's interesting because there's a lot of mystery around Tom Wilson. He's never had a biography published. He has been such an important figure in the development of folk music turning into folk rock. But it's hard to find a lot of descriptions about him. It's interesting because Albert Grossman had a lot to do with having John Hammond replaced as Bob Dylan's producer. And they talk about the difference between John Hammond and Tom Wilson. And so that maybe gives us an idea of what the opposite of Tom Wilson is. And there's a quote from a man named Howard Sounds who knew both of these men. He says about John Hammond, "The two men could not have been more different. Hammond was a WASP, so relaxed during recording sessions that he sat with his feet up reading the New Yorker. Albert Grossman was a Jewish businessman with a shady past, hustling to become a millionaire." And so Grossman really, really did not like Hammond. And so that's when they brought in Tom Wilson. And Tom Wilson produces Bob Dylan's next two albums after the freewheeling Bob Dylan. He also produces the 1964 The Times They Are a-Changin', and also the 1964 Another Side of Bob Dylan. There's some amazing songs on those albums, you know, Mr. Tambourine Man, All I Really Want to Do. But during all that time, there's a change coming into the folk music scene. And while Bob Dylan continues to record as a solo acoustic act, Tom Wilson is assigned to produce another recently signed act on Columbia Records, the young Simon and Garfunkel. Tom Wilson produced their very first album called Wednesday Morning 3 a.m. We're about to listen to a couple of tracks from that. So when you compare the way that Bob Dylan sounded as an acoustic artist with guitar, and then you listen to this song called Bleecker Street, which is a really early original song by Paul Simon, you can kind of tell how they would think that they're very similar. It's an acoustic folk song with just an acoustic simple setting, the way that Bob Dylan's settings were so simple. We're going to listen to two songs from that Wednesday Morning 3 a.m. We're going to hear Bleecker Street, and then we're going to hear the first acoustic recording of The Sounds of Silence. That first Simon and Garfunkel album didn't go anywhere. It really was a flop. Paul Simon leaves. He goes off to London. Art Garfunkel goes back to college at Columbia. And while they're doing that, Tom Wilson goes into the recording studio, and he overdubs bass guitar and drums onto the Sounds of Silence recording. And he produces a new version of that song, which becomes a massive hit single for Simon and Garfunkel and launches their careers. It's also the beginning of the transition of this acoustic folk music, where people are used to just playing by themselves, to all of a sudden having to work with other musicians. Now, Simon and Garfunkel were not aware that this overdub was being done. Tom Wilson did this completely on his own. So we're going to hear three songs. We're going to hear from the Wednesday Morning 3 a.m., we're going to hear Bleecker Street and The Sounds of Silence. And then we're going to hear the version of The Sounds of Silence that Tom Wilson produced with the overdubs. It's a remarkable transition. It seems so simple, but at the time, it was huge. Simon and Garfunkel, Bleecker Street, followed by Sounds of Silence, produced by Tom Wilson.
Thoughts rolling in off the East River bank like a shroud. It covers Bleecker Street, fills the alleys where men sleep, hides the shepherd from the sheep. Voices leaking from a sad cafe,
smiling faces. Try to understand. I saw a shadow touch a shadow's hand on Bleecker Street. Crooked rhyme, holy, holy is his sacrament. $30 pays your rent on Bleecker Street. I heard a church bell softly chime in a melody sustaining. It's a long road to Canaan on Bleecker Street. My old friend, I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, 'neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night. Touch the sound of silence, and in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool, said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell and echoed the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls, whispered in the sound of silence.
darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked along narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never shared. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell. Echo the wells of silence. The people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, the tenement halls, whispering of silence.
Simon and Garfunkel. We just heard three songs from their debut Wednesday morning, 3 a.m. We heard Bleecker Street, and then we heard the original acoustic recording of The Sounds of Silence. And then we just heard The Sounds of Silence as it was re-recorded, remixed, and overdubbed with drums and bass and electric guitar by the producer Tom Wilson. I'm Kathy Geary, and today's program on Now and Then is about the American record producer Tom Wilson and his influence. So Tom Wilson at this time was a staff producer at Columbia Records, where the Byrds were also recording. And one of the things that inspired him to do this overdub on The Sounds of Silence was the Byrds' version of the Bob Dylan song, the folk rock version that the Byrds did of Mr. Tambourine Man. So Wilson is also producing Bob Dylan on the Columbia label. And like I said, in 1964, after the Freewheeling, he continues to record as a solo acoustic artist for The Times They Were Changing and The Other Side of Bob Dylan. But even during those acoustic sessions, they're starting to experiment with fusing the folk and the rock together. And so Bob Dylan's first electric album featuring electric guitars was called Bringing It All Back Home, which was released in 1965. So when he did The Sounds of Silence, it's so hard to put the narrative of Tom Wilson's story together. It's in bits and pieces everywhere. It's written into side notes in all these other artists' careers, trying to get a picture of who he was and what his influence is. It's really fascinating for me. So the first thing that Tom Wilson did with Bob Dylan in December of 1964, is he takes the song The House of the Rising Sun, which Bob Dylan had recorded on his very first solo album, and he overdubs, in the way that he did The Sounds of Silence, he overdubs a lot of electric instruments on it, but it doesn't ever get released. They decide not to release it. But, you know, it's helping Bob Dylan make that transition from being a solo performer into working in an ensemble. So while this is going on with Simon and Garfunkel, Dylan is also listening to another recording being done by a man named John Hammond. Now, John H. Hammond, is the one that actually signed Bob Dylan to Columbia Records. John Hammond had a son named John P. Hammond, who is a blues recording artist, and he's recording on Columbia. And so what John Hammond, the son, is doing is he's trying to turn his blues songs into electric music, electric band. And so John Hammond is recording an album in 1964, and he brings in the American band, including the guitarist Robbie Robertson, the drummer Levon Helm, the organist Garth Hudson. And they later become the band, of course. And so John Hammond releases an album called So Many Roads, and it totally influences Bob Dylan. So when they go in to record Bringing It All Back Home, it's like folk and blues and jazz and rock all come together. The very first recording session for Bringing It All Back Home was on January 13th, and they did 10 solo songs with Wilson producing. The very next day, Wilson brings in an entire electric band, and Wilson picks all of the musicians except for the guitarist Bruce Langhorne, who Bob Dylan brought in. Tom Wilson brings in the guitarist Al Gorgoni, Kenny Rankin, the pianist Paul Griffin, the bass player Joseph Macho Jr., and Willie Lee, and the drummer Bobby Gregg. They record 8 songs. The next day they come back and they record the rest of the album, and they did one take. By that time, by the second day they're recording together, they're so tight that they do one take of Maggie's Farm, and that's released. We're going to listen to 2 tracks from that Turning Point album, Bringing It All Back Home, by Bob Dylan, produced by Tom Wilson. We're going to listen to that song, Maggie's Farm, and then we're going to hear Bob Dylan's 115th Dream. Now, the song starts off, and he starts to play and sing, and then he cracks up in laughter, and that laughter is actually Tom Wilson laughing at the beginning of Bob Dylan's 115th Dream. Maggie's Farm.
Up the floor. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. No, I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. He hands you a dime. He asks you with a grin if you're having a good time. And he finds you every time you slam the door. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. chicks. His bedroom window, it is made out of bricks. The National Guard stands around his door. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's Pa no more. About men and God and law. Everybody says she's the brains behind Pa. She's 68, but she says she's 54. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's Ma no more. They say, sing while you sleep, and I just get bored. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. Flower when I thought I spied some lead.
Start again. Wait a minute, Ellen. Okay, take two.
I was riding on the Mayflower when I thought I spied some lead. I yelled for Captain E-Rib, I have you understand. Who came running to the deck, said, boys, forget the wheel. We're going over yonder, cause the engines change the sail. All on the bow line, we sang that melody, like all tough sailors do when they're far away at sea.
Bob Dylan's 115th Dream. And right before that, we heard the entire track of Maggie's Farm from Bob Dylan's 1965 Bringing It All Back Home, produced by Tom Wilson. I'm Kathy Geary, and this is Now and Then here on WJFF. We're trying to uncover the mystery of the producer Tom Wilson and his role in the 60s music, where he came in to produce folk, acoustic folk artists after a background in avant-garde and jazz. And he was instrumental, no pun intended, in transforming this acoustic folk music into folk rock. All right, so you hear the transition. You know, we listen to some of the early Simon and Garfunkel stuff, The Sounds of Silence, and then you hear that first Bob Dylan album with electric guitars. It's interesting, there's a quote by Dylan, if I can find it. You know, there was an interview in Rolling Stone magazine, and he was asked about, you know, Dylan was asked about the role that Tom Wilson played in his music, and he was asked in the interview that there's been some articles on Tom Wilson that says he's the one that gave you the rock and roll sound. Is that true? And the quote that Bob Dylan said, and this is in 1969 in the Rolling Stone interview, Bob Dylan said, "Did he say that? Well, if he said it, more power to him. He did, to a certain extent. That is true. He did. He had a sound in mind. The last recording that Tom Wilson produced with Bob Dylan for Columbia Records was the song that really was the first number one hit for Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone. And it's interesting because Like a Rolling Stone, they did it in two recording sessions in June of 65. They come in the first day and they do a lot of different songs. But on the second day, on June 16th in 65, they come back in. And this is when Tom Wilson brings Al Kooper. He only came to observe, but Al Kooper somehow ingratiates himself and he manages to sit in on the session and he plays organ on Like a Rolling Stone. Wah-da-da-da-da-da. We're about to listen to this song, and it turned out to be a major part of the song. So they're playing the song totally straight. They're doing live recordings, and after the fourth take is the master. And they release that as the final master without any further mixing or overdubbing. However, after that fourth take, they continue to record in the studio and they do 11 more takes. And it's up to the producer, Tom Wilson, to decide out of all of this music, which is the one that is the best one? Which is the one that gets released? He had the power to decide on any of these albums. What was the take? What was actually going to be recorded and released? And even though you know that the artist has a certain amount of power, the producer, especially at the labels in the 60s, had the final decision. So this is Like a Rolling Stone. This is the last song produced by Tom Wilson for Bob Dylan. Let's listen to it. Like a Rolling Stone.
So fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next meal. How does it feel? How does it feel to be without?
Bob Dylan. So you get the sound. You know that sound, that folk rock sound that Tom Wilson was so instrumental in developing. You know, when he finished, that was the last song. Bob Johnston came in and finished producing the rest of that album. The only song on Highway 61 Revisited that Tom Wilson produced was Like a Rolling Stone. Of course, it was the breakout hit from that album. And it's interesting because in that same interview from Rolling Stone with Bob Dylan in 1969, he was asked about, you know, what happened when the producers changed. And this is what Dylan says, quote, "All I know is that I was out recording one day and Tom had always been there. I had no reason to think he wasn't going to be there. I looked up one day, and Bob was there." Bob Johnston. So both Bob Dylan and Simon and Garfunkel went on to work with the other Columbia staff producer of the time, of Bob Johnston, who produced several of their albums. At this point, Tom Wilson leaves Columbia Records, and he is signed to MGM Verve, the Verve label. He was hired as the East Coast A&R, in charge of A&R, and that's Artists and Repertoire. So it's interesting because we're about to jump from Bob Dylan to Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. It's fascinating for me that a man with Tom Wilson's background, you know, he started off with avant-garde jazz. He goes into the folk music scene and the folk rock scene. And then he becomes head of Verve Records, an instrumental label in contemporary music in the 60s. So there's another producer working at the same label, MGM and Verve, who hears the Mothers of Invention out in Los Angeles. And he has Tom Wilson comes out. And Frank Zappa has a quote about Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson produced Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, their first album, which was called Freak Out. And Frank Zappa says, quote, "Tom Wilson was a great guy. He had a vision, you know, and he really stood by us. I remember the first thing that we recorded was Anyway the Wind Blows, and that was okay. And then we did Who Are the Brain Police." We're about to listen to that track. "Who Are the Brain Police?" I saw him through the glass, and he was on the phone immediately to New York going, "I don't know," trying to break it to them easy, I guess. Anyway, Tom Wilson produced the very first Mothers of Invention album, and he spent $21,000 at a time when the average rock album cost $5,000. Tom Wilson got a 22-piece orchestra to record. The editing was nightmarish, according to Zappa. Zappa also said, quote, "Wilson was sticking his neck out. He laid his job on the line by producing the album." Well, Freak Out sold surprisingly well. And Tom Wilson goes on to produce Absolutely Free, the following album, which he pushes the band into even further into kind of a free-flowing jazz sort of thing. Let's listen to two of those tracks that Tom Wilson produced. Now, you've got to realize that this is, you know, within a few months of producing Like a Rolling Stone. This is the next thing that Tom Wilson produces. We're going to hear Who Are the Brain Police and Trouble Every Day, 1966, Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, Freak Out, produced by Tom Wilson.
Sick, watching my TV. checking out the news until my eyeballs fail to see. I mean to say that every day is just another rotten mess. And when it's gonna change, my friend, is anybody's guess. So I'm watching and I'm waiting, hoping for the best. Even think I go to pray every time I hear them saying that there's no way to delay that trouble coming every day. No way to delay that trouble coming every day. Wednesday I watched a riot, I seen the cops out on the street. Watched them throwing rocks and stuff and choking in the heat. Listen to reports about the whiskey passing round. Seen the smoke and fire and the market burning down. Watch while everybody on your street would take a turn. The stomping, smashing, bashing, crashing, slashing, busting, burning. And I'm watching and I'm waiting, hoping for the best. Even think I go to praying every time I hear them saying that there's no way to delay that trouble coming every day. No way to delay that trouble coming every day. Well, you can cool it, you can heat it, 'cause baby I don't need it. Take your TV tube and eat it, and all that phony stuff on sports and all the unconfirmed reports. You know I watch that rotten box until my head began to hurt from checking out the way the newsmen say they get the dirt before the guys.
Frank Zappa, the mothers of invention. We just heard a little bit of two tracks from their debut Freak Out album, Who Are the Brain Police, and Trouble Every Day About the Watts Riots. Both of those songs produced by Tom Wilson, the subject of today's show. So in addition to the Mothers of Invention, he discovered, signed, and produced Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, The Blues Project, U Masekela, and The Velvet Underground. What an interesting man. What a fascinating career. So The Velvet Underground. He had first heard them down in the village in 1965, and he was still at Columbia, and he told the bass player in the band, hey, wait a minute, because, quote, Tom Wilson said, at Verve, we could do anything we wanted. And he was right. So he also produced The Velvet Underground and Nico, which was their debut album. We're going to listen to a track from that, sung by Lou Reed, called Waiting for the Man. Now, it's interesting because the Mothers of Invention and The Velvet Underground, superficially, they sound kind of similar in some ways. They're both fairly on the extremes of the music scene, but they had a totally different approach in the content of their lyrics and the things that they sang and produced. So let's hear a little bit of Waiting for the Man from The Velvet Underground and Nico. And then we're going to hear another track from a project called The Blues, from a band called The Blues Project. It's interesting because when Al Kooper came in to record on that Bob Dylan song, and also Mike Bloomfield on guitar, those two got together and they recorded an album called The Super Sessions. And they also formed a band called The Blues Project, which Tom Wilson produced, also on the MGM Verve label. So let's listen to a little bit of both of those artists produced by Tom Wilson. We're going to start with The Velvet Underground and Nico. This is from 1967, from their debut album. And then from the same year, we're going to hear a song from The Blues Project's Projections album called Flute Thing. Both artists recorded on MGM Verve in 1967. Let's start with The Velvet Underground. $6.
Lexington, 125. Feel sick and dirty, more dead than alive. I'm waiting for my man. Hey, white boy, what you doing uptown? Hey, white boy, you chasing all women around? Me, sir, it's furthest from my mind. I'm just looking forward to different of mine. I'm waiting for my man. He comes, he's all dressed in black. He wears shoes, straw hat.
We're listening to Flute Thing by the band The Blues Project, who were discovered, signed, and produced by the American record producer Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson, he's a tall, thin, handsome, intelligent man. He was about 6'4". His picture appears on the Mothers of Invention, We're Only in It for the Money. On the inside of that album, they do a parody of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's, where everyone stands behind the band. And there's a photograph of Tom Wilson, very handsome, tall, thin man. What an amazing life. What an interesting career. He was one of the founding owners, along with Chris Stone and Gary Kellgren, of the Record Plant recording studio in New York. He was also held a position at the New York State Commission for Human Rights. Very interesting. There's some quotes about him from one of his good friends, Wally Famous Amos, you know, the cookie magnet and the former William Morris agent. Wally Amos said that Tom Wilson, quote, "He lived his life unapologetically as a human being, not as a black man." So there's another story that Amos tells about being with Tom Wilson. They're waiting for a taxi in New York City in the late 60s. And according to Amos, quote, "The cabbie slowed down. When he saw the young black men waiting, he took off. Wilson shouted after the man in his Texas drawl, 'I'm smarter than you, better looking than you, and I can buy and sell you, so get the hell out of here.'" Tom Wilson. After a brief 47 years of a very full life, Tom Wilson died of a heart attack at his home in Los Angeles in 1978. I'm Kathy Geary, and you've been listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. I hope you enjoyed today's program. Thank you so much for listening.